Good morning, and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship's virtual Sunday service. We are affectionately known as WOOF. My name is Howard Baldwin. I use the pronouns he and him, and it is my privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning. Tomorrow is Labor Day, which is always special to me because for most of his career, my late Uncle Joe Swire was an arbitrator for the International Union of Electrical, Radio, and Machine Workers. Today's speakers, though, will talk about some of the hardest labor of all. Whoever and wherever you are at this moment, we want you to know that you are welcome here, regardless of your age or abilities, regardless of whom you love or how you identify your gender. If you do, whatever your spiritual practices may be, or if you have none, we welcome you. We especially welcome you no matter what the color of your skin, because that's also color of your skin. We are glad you're with us this morning. All of us local to this virtual community of conscious and compassion, or wherever you may be. I encourage you to check the announcements in your order of service to see what else is happening this week, and to join us for our virtual coffee hour at 11:30 when we will check in with each other, share our joys and sorrows, and talk about today's service. If this is your first time with us and you don't have an order of service, but would like to know more about who we are and how we stay connected during this time of social distancing, don't hesitate to get in touch with our congressional administrator. All of that information is on our website. And now, as I light the chalice, as I try to light the chalice, this is always the hardest part for me. There we go. The Unitarian Universalist symbol of our shared and scattered faith, let us speak together our opening affirmation. The words will be on the screen. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. This morning's reading is from Cesar Chavez. We can choose to use our lives for others to bring about a better and more just world for our children. People who make that choice will know hardship and sacrifice. But if you give yourself totally to the nonviolence struggle for peace and justice, you also find that people give you their hearts, and you will never go hungry and never be alone. And in giving of yourself, you will discover a whole new life full of meaning and love.
Life we see. am so delighted to be with you today. Today, we are honored to have representatives from the Western Farm Workers come and be with us and share their stories. I am sharing a story with you today that is about Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez. And these are names that hopefully are familiar to you. They are people who many years ago were incredible change makers. The changes that they marched and fought for still have improved the lives of the people who pick and harvest and plant and take care of our food and so much more. Friends, we know that even though there have been people in history who have fought incredibly hard for immense change, we know there is more to be done. So while you listen to this book, I would invite you to think about what small act or what large act can I do to support those who labor to make our lives possible. And a practice that I have started recently is that when I am cooking for my family, I take a moment as I'm chopping vegetables or rolling matzo balls, as I did earlier today. I take a moment to stop and send out gratitude for all those who toil to make our lives possible.
Side by Side, the story of Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez, written by Monica Brown, illustrated by Joseph Beda, and read by Mr. Alicea. In New Mexico, there lived a little girl named Dolores, who talked so fast that her grandfather once said, "Dolores, you must have seven tongues." Many miles away, in Arizona, there lived a little boy named Cesar, who was a very good listener. Cesar listened to his mother cry when his family lost its home and they had to become migrant farm workers. When Dolores was a girl, she moved to California with her mother and brothers. She joined the Girl Scouts and worked to raise money for soldiers fighting in World War II. Cesar's family moved to California to follow the crops and work in the fields. Although he had to drop out of school to work, Cesar always had a book under his arm. From her mother, Dolores learned to think of others. When poor farm worker families had no place to sleep, Dolores's mother would let them stay at her hotel for free. Life for Cesar's family was difficult. All day, they bent over in the hot sun picking lettuce, strawberries, and grapes. There was never enough water to drink out in the fields. Dolores grew up and became a teacher. She saw the farm worker children come to school cold and barefoot, too hungry to learn as well as they could. When Cesar grew up, he and his friends were hurt by dangerous tools and had mean bosses who sprayed the plants with poisons that made the farm workers sick. Then something special happened. Dolores and Cesar met. Dolores saw that Cesar had great faith. His dreams would bring hope to thousands of farm workers. Cesar saw that Dolores had great courage. She would stand up and fight for what was right. Side by side, Dolores and Cesar began their journey. Dolores and Cesar drove from town to town, standing on the back of flatbed trucks and inviting farm workers to join La Causa, the cause for justice. Together, they demanded better living and working conditions for the farm workers. Cesar and Dolores asked people to stop buying grapes from California because the poisons the growers used there were making the workers sick. People listened, and the grapes rotted on the vines. The farm workers won. They got a safer place to work, and the grapes became safer for people to eat. Cesar led men, women, and children on a 340-mile march to demand that workers get paid enough to live on. They arrived in Sacramento, California on April 10th, Dolores' birthday. Dolores gave an amazing speech, and the people were heard. The growers signed a contract with the workers, giving them better pay for their hard work. It was time for the farm workers to share in the harvest. Though they each had a large family, little food, and no money, when Dolores and Cesar sat down at Cesar's kitchen table, they always looked for ways to make the world a better place. If we don't help the farm workers, Cesar asked Dolores, who will? When the growers and the politicians wouldn't listen, Cesar stopped eating for 36 days so that others would understand how important it was to protect the workers. When their bosses bullied them, the workers used to say, we can't do it, we can't win. But with the help of Dolores, they began to chant, si se puede, yes we can. For 30 years, Dolores and Cesar worked and listened and talked and marched, side by side. Dolores and Cesar worked to help families stay together. They fought to pass the Immigration Act of 1986 that helped more than 1 million immigrants become United States citizens. Dolores and Cesar had many victories because they knew that, together, all things were possible. In 1993, Cesar passed away, and Dolores and the farm workers marched to honor him. Dolores still works and marches for justice for the poor, and she is not alone. The spirit of Cesar Chavez is with her, by her side.
What a wonderful story. And it is a testament to when we get together, we can get things done.
This is time when we hold up our highest aspirations and hope. Spirit of love and life, holy, that which makes our lives possible and sustains it, utter mystery, please hold us today after this hard week. Please hold and care for all those who are suffering and are afraid right now. The people in Afghanistan, especially women, citizens from Western nations, and all those who helped the U.S. Those that suffered the destruction of Hurricane Ida, and all those still without homes, water, and electricity. The people and animals in the way of fires all across the West. The 1,500 a day who are dying from COVID in the West, and those many more around the world. And the so many others who are struggling with the illness or its long aftermath, and all the people who love them and care for them. Every woman in Texas who needs an abortion today or in the future. Please hold and care for all the people, all those who labor to offer protection and care each day to all of us, those who fight to get people out of Afghanistan and protect those who are there, the first responders and second responders and all those who show up in any crisis. Firefighters, doctors and nurses, abortion providers and reproductive right activists, teachers, farmers and farm workers. It is Labor Day. Let us hold these people especially in our blessing. Keep our hearts open in compassion, our bodies conduits of righteous rage. It is so easy to fold into ourselves when injustice and pain hammer down upon the world. Please ground us, sustain us, help us walk toward the suffering with care. and remind us every single day to be grateful. How lucky we are to eat. The earth, sun, water, and air make every bite we take possible. So does the labor of so many people. The farmers, the farm workers, food packers, food processors, truck drivers, grocery store workers, cooks, and more. We eat because so many people spend the precious hours of their days sharing their gifts of body and mind. This is Labor Day. Let us remember our utter dependence on those people that make eating and thus our very lives possible. Amen. Now let us take time for prayer, meditation, and reflection, as is your tradition. And as River Is Flowing is playing, if you would like to write the names of the people who you are holding in your hearts today in the chat, that would be welcome.
The river is flowing.
I'd like to introduce WWF member Jack Smith, who will in turn introduce our guests from Western Farm Workers. Like many of us at WWF, Jack has volunteered and worked with the members and leadership of Western Farm Workers and has indeed done a lot to help organize today's service and organize their participation. Jack will introduce Parker Berger.
Good morning. Y buenos dias. It's such a pleasure to have people from Western Farm Workers speaking at our service today. WWF's partnership with this organization over, many years has provided us opportunities to assist as they advocate and provide support for their members. But just as important, I think, is the opportunity it has given us to learn about their lives and the struggles they face. This morning will continue this morning. I'd like to first introduce Parker Berger, the highly respected face of Western Farm Workers, and he will introduce the members with him today. So, Parker, Monse y Angela, estamos muy feliz de tenerte aquí esta mañana. Bienvenidos, bienvenidos todos. Parker.
Oh, thank you, Jack, and everybody with West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship for inviting us here to speak on Labor Day weekend. Glad to be here. And my name is Parker Berger. I'm the operations manager of Western Farm Workers Association, a full-time volunteer organizer. And I've been organizing time for 8 years with Western Farm Workers. And with me today is this is Angela, who is one of our representatives. We call them delegates from our Workers' Benefit Council, which is a representative benefit, representative council from our membership, and Monse, who will be translating for Angela today and is also part of our team here and design team and volunteer. So one of the things we have been asked to do is to give you an idea of a day in the life of a farm worker. And so Angela is going to speak a little bit and explain a day in the life of a farm worker.
Yeah.
You could take your mask off.
Okay. Mi nombre es Ángela Guzmán. Yo soy trabajadora de agrícolas del campo. Y por las mañanas me levanto a las 3:40 a preparar mi lonche, a preparar mi lonche, salgo a la calle a esperar el raite y llegamos al trabajo y entramos a las 5 de la mañana. y trabajamos 10 horas o 11 horas en la pista y tenemos que hacer como 300 libras de Blueberry para ganar $120.
Angela, she's Angela Guzman. She is explaining that she's a farm worker for the past almost 10 years, and she has to wake up around 3:40 in the morning to prepare her lunch, get ready to work, and then she has to wait for her ride to work. She starts working at 5. She works picking blueberries, and her work days will last between 10 to 11 hours a day. She also has to make 300 pounds of, she has to pick 300 pounds of blueberries in order to get about $120 per day.
Y allí todavía pagamos raite.
Puede hablar, puede empezar a hablar, compartir okay. Más y otra cosa.
Ok, y de allí, todavía de eso tenemos que pago mi raite y todavía de allí nos quitan dinero.
She has to pay her right to work every day, back in, going to work and then coming back to home, and then also she gets taxes deducted from that total amount that she makes per day because she works per contract.
Mm-hmm. Sigo, ¿verdad?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Y luego yo lo que pido que en veces vamos a trabajar a los campos y hay personas que nos tratan bien, hay personas que no nos tratan bien.
Sí. Mm-hmm. Compartir más
sobre... Okay. Entonces yo espero que esto también nosotros que estamos en el campo, que también los americanos sepan valorizar lo que nosotros trabajamos, porque también si no trabajaremos todo el agrícola del campo, yo pienso que los americanos no tuvieran un plato de comida en la mesa.
She's sharing that part of her job is dealing with good and bad people at work. Sometimes she runs into good bosses and sometimes they don't treat them right. She explains that their job should be more valued because a lot of Americans do get their food, a plate of food on their table, thanks to farm workers.
Sí, platican más sobre su día de trabajo. Sí. Y yo espero que eso lo tomen mucho en cuenta el americano, en nosotros la persona hispana que trabajamos en el campo.
She hopes her work gets value for what us Hispanic people and any farm worker from people in the U.S.
Sí, ¿verdad?
Uh-huh. Sí, platiqué sobre uh-huh. su trabajo, qué es lo que hace.
Sí, como voy a platicar lo de la uva.
Uh-huh.
En 2020 anduve trabajando con un contratista en la uva. Anduvimos bajando brocha, acomodando alambre, anduvimos desahijando. Entonces traíamos un mayordomo y ese mayordomo nos gritaba mucho y nos tronaba los dedos, rápido, rápido, quiero esto. Entonces hubo un día que a mí me dio, ¿cómo se dice? Coraje. Yo me dio como coraje y le dije, bueno, ¿andamos por horas o andamos por contrato? Dice, no, se tiene que sacar ese contrato porque así lo rigió el que se hace dueño de encargar de agarrar los contratos. Porque hay una persona que es la que hace los contratos y otra persona que es el mayordomo. Y a mí me dio mucho coraje. Sí me dio coraje y le dije, bueno, le dije, pues si yo no ando por contrato, yo ando por horas. Odyssey, le dije yo, y cuidadito que le vas a decir al patrón. Y fue lo primero que hizo decirle al patrón. Y ya otro día dice, usted no va a tener trabajo aquí, dice, porque usted ayer le gritó al mayordomo. Dice,
okay.
I'm sorry.
She's explaining that on the 2020, even COVID, she was working on picking grapes, and she was helping on the maintenance for the plants, like wiring them, cutting the leaves and then picking also. And so they had a, they call it a, well, it's like a supervisor, and they, well, he was telling them to hurry up, to do it faster, to work harder. And of course they don't do it in a nicer way. So she didn't like that. And she asked them, are we here by contract or per hour? Which they usually get by contract. They don't get paid by hour. And so, he told her that she was there by contract and they had to follow orders and they had to meet the numbers. They had to pick, or they had to meet, yeah, the goals. And so she just complained and she said, well, just don't tell the boss that I complain. And that was the first thing that the supervisor did. He went to tell the boss, and the next day they told her that she was fired. Basically, she didn't have a job for the rest of the season. So those are things that she has to deal on her job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Y también cuando andamos en la pizca la Busberry, hay bastante personas piscando la Busberry. Y hay personas que no les gusta salir a lonche, no les gusta agarrar break, no les gusta salir a lonche, porque pues tienen que hacer bastantes libras para ganarse unos $300. Y pues eso también lo veo yo un poco difícil, porque mejor deberían de pagar por horas. Es mejor que le paguen a uno por horas y no anda por un contrato, porque pues trabaja uno muchas horas y poco dinero.
¿Cómo cuánto les pagan por libra, más o menos?
Pues, ¿a cómo sale la libra?
¿Cuánto les pagan por libra?
40 centavos la libra.
So, she's explaining that
¿sí?
Sometimes at work, well, they don't take breaks. People don't take breaks. People don't take lunch. They just keep working. Mm-hmm. 8 hours straight because they want to pick enough fruit to have enough money. The most they can do, it's like about $300 per day. And I asked her how much she gets paid per pound. Mm-hmm. And usually it's like 40, 45 cents per pound.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to pick about 300 pounds to get about $120. Mm-hmm. Minus taxes.
Okay. So, this is what many of our members are up against who work in the fields, who work in agriculture. And Angela is a member and a part of Western Farm Workers and has been for 3 years. Western Farm Workers, I know many of our friends at West Hills have joined us and participated in our work, and so may know a little bit about us, but for those that don't or have not, Western Farm Workers is an all-volunteer private membership association. We have just over 13,000 members. Our members primarily work in agriculture, but also do other jobs as agriculture and the economy in the area has changed. Majority of our membership are seasonal, so they'll work here year-round. Angela was telling me this morning that she's going to be working in Christmas wreaths, making what are called coronas, mm-hmm. Starting in the fall, which is a nonstop. And what she means when she says she works contract, it means that you're paid by the pound versus paid by the hour, contrato. It's just what people call it. And so they're paid by the pound. And wreaths, Christmas wreaths are the same. The pay starts from 50 cents for a wreath to maybe $2.50 for a wreath. That might be more complicated and it depends on the size. Western Farm Workers has been here in Washington County for 33 years, fighting to address and change these conditions. We operate and run a free of charge self-help 11-point benefit program, which includes food, clothing. We have volunteer attorneys, doctors, and dentists who donate services free of charge for our members. And these benefits are very important and help sustain our membership. West Hills has played a very important role in our benefits program, helping to support during Christmas, collecting Christmas gifts for our members' children, helping with food and clothing, you know, collections and drives, donating for tamales that our members and volunteers, I think some of the West Hills folks have come out and helped make, one of our winter survival drive that we do, and then making deliveries of urgently needed supplies, food, and PPE, as well as other things throughout this pandemic. So we greatly appreciate that, and thank you for your participation. It makes a difference. We realize that addressing these problems and the root of these problems requires working people to have a real say in the policies and decisions that are affecting their lives, and that requires organization. And Angela has on a number of occasions talked about how beautiful it is to be a farm worker and that you're out in the fields doing something that everyone in the country benefits from and needs, and that it's prideful. Our membership are very proud of their work. And sometimes said that the solution for farm workers is to get an education and go to college and get a degree and get out of farm work. But the reality is that somebody has to do this work. The jobs are, as said, and we've always known, essential, i.e. they must be done. And the people who do them need to earn a living wage, be treated with dignity and respect. And that requires organization and support for that from the community. The current conditions have been very difficult during this pandemic. The last year and a half, our members are working in more dangerous conditions for less money, often facing quarantines of 2 weeks if they're infected or even exposed to COVID. And in many of our members' jobs, it's nearly there's no social distancing in a farm labor camp, which are migrant camps that our migrant membership lives in on the farms owned by the growers. There's no way to social distance. Additionally, really every single one of our membership families has been impacted economically and otherwise by this pandemic, have lost work, lost hours, had to quarantine. And so the benefits program is a way for us to sustain and survive, bring together people from the community so we can address the policies that are often at the root of these problems. The 116 degree weather, in addition to being miserable for everyone, and especially for those that work outside, was also and extremely dangerous. As we know, a farm worker died outside of Woodburn, 38 years old. Those conditions also destroyed. I've heard different numbers from different farmers, between 40 and 75% of the blueberries, which if you're paid per contract, means you've lost 40 to 75% of your income, which is just compounds everything else people are up against during this pandemic. Because of these conditions, on average, we were finding that farm workers were making about $7 an hour for an hour's work because there's not enough blueberries for them to pick. And I just want to speak a little bit about that because that might shock some people. $7 an hour, but minimum wage is $13.50 or $12.50. Depends where you are, if you're in urban or suburban. But actually, federally speaking, the Fair Labor Standards Act specifically excludes farm workers as a category, which has nothing to do with documentation status. Farm workers do not get minimum wage. Farm workers are not provided overtime pay, and child labor laws do not apply to farm workers. In the state of Oregon, some of those laws have been changed. They have passed different child labor laws. I believe it's 14. Of course, in reality, that's not practical necessarily for our membership to not have their kids out in the fields with them. So what age people start is often when they can walk. People do not get overtime, and they passed a minimum wage bill for farm workers, but it specifically excludes farm workers that are working 3 months or less and are paid contract, or aka piece rate, which is 90% of our members doing seasonal farm work. So in addition to these exclusions, 1935, the National Labor Relations Act, which is the foundation of labor law in the United States. Everything we, you know, people know about unions today or are members of unions today comes from this law. And it was passed in 1935. It specifically excludes farm workers, domestic workers, temporary workers, and independent contractors from having the rights to collective bargaining, rights to organizations that their employer must recognize. And so our members are in a category that we call unrecognized workers. We have just wrapped up yesterday our back-to-school campaign and an important distribution. Actually, the campaign continues, but the distribution of supplies was yesterday with Jack, Linda, some of the members from First Church were also there to join us. So thank you for also all the members who donated school supplies as our members get ready to send their kids back to school. It is very important. The educational inequalities during this pandemic have grown, so the supplies make a difference in impacting that. We're gearing up for our fall expansion seasonal agricultural work in the field slows down. People move into making Christmas trees, Christmas wreaths, and garland. I remember they actually make the wreath and the garland for the White House, which is pretty amazing. And the eviction moratorium was overturned, so we're training and urgently in need of additional organizers, as well as volunteers to help prevent these evictions. We're teaching people how to advocate for our members, how to apply for the state program, which is available but has a 26-page application. We're also continuing our vaccination drive. We've successfully vaccinated over 90% of our active membership, which is very exciting, but there's many more members, and there's a lot more people in the community. We're continuing to fight to get people the vaccines, and education is an important component of that, building our representatives in neighborhoods and in the community. So volunteers are participating in all of those activities, and we're also dealing with air conditioning. So we have a beautiful historic building where we're here at today, but it has, from 1914, no central air. So we're raising, on a program to raise $15,000 to cover the rest of the cost of our central air conditioning system. And so thank you for your support in that way as well. So thank you for inviting us. Those are my remarks, and we look forward to continuing our relationship and working great people at West Hills.
Hello, I'm the Reverend Connie Yost, an affiliated community minister here at Wolf. I really appreciate the service today. I wanted to let you know about some opportunities there are to support farm workers. I'm the besides at Western Farm Workers, who's doing great work, and Parker did a good job of outlining that. I'm the president of Farm Worker Ministry Northwest, and we're a member organization of National Farm Worker Ministry. So there are actions and education that we do in legislatively and also with farm workers locally and nationally. So the national legislation tends to center around three areas right now, and that would be immigration, heat and smoke protections, and overtime. So the Farm Workforce Modernization Act is supported by United Farm Workers, and that's a federal legislation that passed the House, U.S. House in March. And just a few weeks ago, the Senate took a historic step and approved a budget resolution that includes granting farm workers, streamers, TPS holders, and other essential workers legal status. So we'll see how that works out. The United Farm Workers is also pushing for national heat regulations, and both the House and the Senate have bills which are in committee around that. But here in Oregon, we do have temporary rules which were enacted for heat and smoke in July. And I'm part of a group that's working. We just submitted our final comments for permanent rules to Oregon OSHA. And right now, our rules are the best in the country. They kick in at 80 degrees for various things such as shade, rest, breaks in shade, water, et cetera. Overtime for farm workers, as Parker mentioned, farm workers were deliberately left out of labor law. There is a Federal Fairness for Farm Workers Act, which is in committee, the U.S. House, and Washington State did enact overtime for farm workers. However, Oregon did not. The bill failed in the 2021 session, but we're working to position it for hopefully adoption in the short 2022 session. So all that information is in our e-news. I encourage you to sign up for the Farm Worker Ministry Northwest e-news. You can find a link on my bio on the WOLF website. And also check out National Farm Worker Ministry website, also a link there under my bio. Every year we do a lot of curriculum around farm work, and this year called the Harvest of Justice theme, which kicks off tomorrow for Labor Day. It's called Farm Workers and the Environment. So a lot more about the heat and smoke stress. So our benediction today is from Cesar Chavez. I'm always inspired by these words because the fight for justice for farm workers has always been hard. And yet, he offers us hope. In his words, we draw our strength from the very despair in which we have been forced to live. We shall endure. And may we never tire of working for justice for those who work so hard for so little. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Connie. As we extinguish the chalice, let us carry within us the warm glow of its flame and the values of Unitarian Universalism.